The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is going on, guys? Welcome to the Fightful post show for Wrestle Kingdom 17, night one. So it has been a long night for us here in the United States, but you know what? One night or two nights a year, like for the show of shows for New Japan, it's quite worth it. Want to say thank you for joining us. And my name's Rob Wilkins, and right there is Scott E, who is joining us or joining me for this show. Scott, what do you think?
I thought it was a great show. You know, long night, obviously, very long night. But I thought it was a great show. Many moments to remember. I think a match that will be talked about for a very, very long time. And yeah, it felt like Wrestle Kingdom again, which is something, you know, I think a lot of people were waiting for a few years.
Yes, for sure. And I do see this comment here. I think Sean's asleep or going to bed now, so he won't be here. So with that in mind, I do want to let you know he did say that he will have his thoughts on the show later this week on Fightful Select. So just so you're aware of that. So he will be talking about the show. So just so you know that. So it is a different show than your normal pay-per-view post shows. So, but we're going to have a little bit of fun and try to get the show going for you. So, yeah. We'll go ahead and start with the first match here. The pre-show, I'll let you just go ahead and start like with the,
The first match was a 3-minute exhibition, really. Roihei Oiwa versus Bolton Oleg. Bolton Oleg was a amateur wrestler making his debut. And I thought, you know, for first wrestling match, first pro wrestling match, it looked great. I think he shined very bright. I saw a lot of people taking notice of him, and he feels like a guy that can naturally set himself apart from the rest of the New Japan roster in, you know, 2 to 3 years after he goes through all his training.
Yeah, I think Kevin Kelly even said his age on the commentary, but I missed it. But he has like the look, and the dude is just, he's going to be a stud. And that's the thing, like anybody that goes through New Japan, I mean, that's the first thing you think of, yeah. Like, you know, they're going to be a stud, but like this guy, there's just something about him that I just was like, well, granted it's only a 3-minute match and what can you get out of that? But I enjoyed it for what we got. And it was, I mean, it was quick. It was a draw. So it was, I think the best thing out of like that first match was it was what I liked the most was actually it felt like Wrestle Kingdom again. Like just it did. Yeah. It really felt like it, like the crowd was there. You could hear them rather. Yeah. So it was good to see somebody I haven't seen wrestle before. Overall, I like how they do the opening match for a pre-show match. So
yeah, I mean, clearly they have big big goals for him, you know, debuting him at Wrestle Kingdom. That's not going to go, it's not going to go unwatched, right? This guy's going to have a microscope on him now moving forward, I'm sure, in a good way, because I do think that with his build and with his, what we saw within 3 minutes was impressive. And he kind of has a, he has that amateur wrestler that we've seen in many wrestle, you know, Angle, Lesnar, like he has that solid body like they'd have. So it's going to be interesting to see how he fits in here. I'm not saying he's going to be Lesnar or Angle, but seeing him go through that system rather than a system we're used to will be very interesting for an amateur wrestler like that.
Yeah, for sure. And like, we do have some super chats, and I'll try to read them like as we talk about like the match. Sure. So like, we have one for Mercedes. So whenever we get to Mercedes, I'll try to go that route. But this one I'll go ahead and read though, because I don't want to lose it here. I probably got that wrong. Nate says, what a great show. It's 7:30 a.m. I am drunk. So much. Great wrestling. I'll catch your review after a nap, because my God, 7 a.m. drunk hits different. There you go. And I'm sorry, I probably butchered your name, so I very much apologize for that. So the Pro Wrestling Podcast says, so tired, but worth it. Exactly.
I agree.
And then I'll go ahead and just get to this one here. Oscar sends a super chat that says, so Mercedes is signed with New Japan, right? So any appearance with AEW, for example, at the Kia Forum would be a collab and not Tony signing her? Not necessarily, because it could be a, we don't know yet from what I've seen. It could be a paper appearance, like
per
paper
day,
paper show appearance, so she could still sign an exclusive possibly with AEW. She could possibly sign with whoever. I mean, that's, I think we'll know more tomorrow if she's going to be the opponent or the tag partner for Saraya on January 11th. Is that the date? Yeah, January 11th. Yep. We'll know more tomorrow, I'm sure, or later today, depending on how you want to look at it. So we should know more pretty soon.
Yeah.
New Japan, I think it's, this is speculation on my part. I think it's just a pay per appearance.
Yeah.
I think she wants to wrestle the people that she's been wanting to wrestle. She absolutely loves the business, and this is her chance to wrestle the people that she's been wanting to wrestle for a long time. Yep. So I'm happy for her. You could tell she was happy as she could be out there. So,
yeah. The main reason I'm definitely in agreement with you on the per appearance thing is just from the wrestlers she was naming after the show too. You know, she named Azumi, who's in Stardom, but she named Miyu Yamashita, who's of course in TJPW. You know, we've seen her on AEW TV, and Aja Kong, who doesn't, you know, have anything to do with Stardom. So it does kind of feel like if she wants to do all these things, she isn't locking herself down to a specific contract. So we'll see. But like Rob said, you know, I'm sure within the next 24 hours, we're going to find out a lot more about this situation and her future.
And he sends another super chat that says, you're good. It's Sherman. I understand. Awesome. Good. That's good. So let's go to the
Rambo.
Yeah. Let's go to the Rambo match.
Yeah. So the Rambo, you know, they've changed it up past couple of years with the KOPW Cup. Now the title being in play, so the last four people actually win, and the four will go on to Nearest Dash, which is tomorrow, to compete for the title. Like, I'm gonna keep calling it a cup. The four that made it through were Sho, Great Okan, Toru Yano, and Shingo Takagi. There weren't really any surprises in here, mostly just a lot of the guys that weren't on the main card that we've seen, you know, over the past couple of years, Jeff Cobb, Ishii, Evil, Okan, like I said, who else? All of House of Torture, El Phantasmo, Tai Chi, you know, all of them were really the ones filling up the Rambo. And, you know, when it comes to Rambos, it's pretty simple. It wasn't anything super special. A lot of outside wrestling I noticed this year. They were fighting a lot on the outside. There was a point where it was like United Empire versus Bullet Club / House of Torture. Kenta was in there as well. I thought it was fine. I'm interested with the four that they picked. You know, Sho is a junior, of course, out of the four. So I'm intrigued, to say the least. But if I got to pick the four, I don't know if this is the four I would have went with. But I'm happy to see Shingo continuing his run there, and you know, we'll get to Shingo later too.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Got a super chat from Ozzy Illusion Mining for Mayhem. So it's just after 10:30 p.m. Glad I stayed up. Very nice. So yeah, the Rambo match, it was pretty solid. I thought you're right. It did change. Like, it did feel different, like, than normal. And it went by pretty quick. It was for what it was. I like how they get people involved, that way you don't have the people in catering type situation, you know? So I'm glad they get people involved on the show. So that's a good thing. So the next match was the Antonio Inoki tribute match or memorial match. I'll let you.
Yeah. So the competitors were on one side, Satoshi Kojima, Yuji Nagata, and Togi Makabe. And on the other side, Minoru Suzuki, Tatsumi Fujinami, and Tiger Mask. Overall, I thought the match was pretty good, you know, for a pre-show match. The only shame of it was the finish that, you know, seemed very blundered. Obviously, it wasn't what they were going for, Makabe and Tiger Mask, so that kind of felt flat. But otherwise, I thought you got really good action between a bunch of the dads of the roster, right? Yeah. You know, I thought Kojima and Suzuki were especially great, as they often are. You know, both of them are still going at a high level, so it's not shocking.
I like how you put that. That was the dads. That makes perfect sense. And we were just doing the watch along before, like during the whole show, and that was pretty much how somebody else put it. They put they said the uncles of New Japan. So I like how you went with the dads, and we had somebody else go with the uncles. So
yeah,
that was good.
But so we can get to the main card here. I think the main card is really where we want to jump in. So the opening match was the IWGP Junior Tag Team Title Match, which Catch 22, Francesco Cara, and TJP successfully defended against Leo Rush and EO. And I think with these two teams, it's kind of why we, or at least I, wanted to see the one night Wrestle Kingdom come back. It makes this match fit more on the card, going at the top, kind of setting the pace for the rest of the night. Good energy, good action. I think Leo Rush is just such a star. And I'm happy to see him clicking with New Japan. You know, we know he's had his ups and downs. You know, he's been through WWE, AEW, he's been here, there, and everywhere. But I think New Japan's where he's going to settle, and I think it's a really good fit.
Yeah, and I love the guy. I love watching the guy. He's done some great interviews with Sean Ross at Fightful, and he's just awesome to watch. Like, even when I first remember watching him in the indies, I just really enjoyed him. And then I thought it was kind of crazy. Like, I mean, this is a New Japan show, but I remember kind of thinking, like, do they not know what they have with him? Why is he just managing Bobby Lashley? They need him in the ring. Yeah. But it's great to see him wrestling. It's great to see, we get to see the talent. And I think what a lot of people, I was noticing on Twitter tonight, is because a lot of people knew Mercedes and I'm going to tie this back into it, but a lot of people knew Mercedes was going to be on this show. So a lot of people that normally don't watch New Japan were watching this show. And I noticed a few people mention Lio Rush, and I saw two comments tonight, or two tweets tonight, that had people said they had no idea that he was that good of a wrestler. And that made me actually feel pretty damn happy for him.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's a good thing. And that's actually a good thing for the wrestling fan too out there, because now they're getting to see, they're getting to see, and I'm hoping people that, I know there will be people that'll go back and watch the whole show. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a good thing. This is definitely a good thing for, New Japan. They know what they're doing with bringing, Mercedes in, and we'll get to that in the next match. But when I read that tweet, I was just like, that's spectacular, because that's what they're going for. They're hoping they bring in that some more viewers. I mean, that's what they want, and they got that. And the fact that they got to see Lio Rush, somebody they recognized, and they might have even seen some of them. I didn't see anything, but they might have even recognized TJP. I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't see that, but the fact that they recognized Lio Rush made me pretty happy.
Yeah. The thing with Lio, and he's a guy I always root for, is that, you know, I think a lot of people make jokes at his expense for not really any good reason. He's been through a lot, obviously, through his career. But ever since he, you know, was able to come back and team with Yo, it's felt natural. It's felt good. And now I'm just hoping that he's going to be in the best of Super Juniors, because as you can see here, he's still very good, if not at his best. He's entering his prime. He's only 28 years old still. That's the crazy part. He's still so young. And I thought Akira and TJP were great as well. I wanted to give them credit as the champion successfully defending. I think they've been great for New Japan in that division. And, you know, I would have liked to see Lio grab some gold, but it makes sense to keep them going. I think they've been really solid champions for them.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, once you said that, I was thinking, I'm like, yeah, we're talking about the guys that lost the match more than we are talking about the winners. But yeah, United Empire, you know, they got the titles still. Mm-hmm. And they were good. And TJP and Akira, they looked good. The match was good. It was a good start for the show. And it was, again, I'm going back to it. It was the first match of the show, technically of the main card.
Yeah.
And I was just as happy as I could be. I'm like, this is it. We're starting. This is Wrestle Kingdom. This is a Wrestle Kingdom of, what was the last Wrestle Kingdom that was normal? 15 or 14? Like,
yeah,
so
2020.
It felt good, like, to get back to that point. So that's the way I felt.
Yeah. Even 2019, because 2020 was the double nights. So you really go to 2019 with the one single night and really feeling all of that instead of expanding the two cards. But yeah, you're definitely right there. Are you good to move on?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So the IWGP Women's Championship match, Kairi successfully defending against Tam Nakano. And, you know, I cover Stardom here for Stardom, Joshi here for Fightful, cover it everywhere that I can. There is a certain amount of, I will say, frustration as a fan watching them because of the little time they got. And it wasn't just them. You know, the tag title match, the next match, also got very little time, all things considered. But, you know, you're trying to establish this IWGP Women's Championship, and we know what's coming after this. Everyone knew. It was the worst kept secret. So I wonder if that was part of the problem. They kind of wanted to rush and get to that part. But I think with these two, you know, people are tuning in, assuming they know Kairi at the very least. If, you know, they're here for Sasha Banks slash Mercedes. So I was hoping they got more time. But in the 6 minutes that they got, I will give them credit. I thought they really maximized their minutes. They put on a really good sprint of a match. And, you know, it was never in question who was winning to me, especially with this being the first defense. But I thought Tam did really good at establishing herself, even if she got 6 minutes. They had the really cool entrance for Kairi. but I know everyone's there for the post match. So
yeah, and she looked. That's the thing about Mercedes. Yeah. She just like the car, she looks great, you know, like on camera. Yeah. Like she just goes out there, she commands the camera, people just absolutely love her. We missed her because we haven't seen her since May. And it's good. It's one of those, I hate the term, it's what's best for business, but Sasha Banks is one of those people that's what's best for business. She brings in the fans, like she really does. We had Victor from the wrestling club on our watch along, and I remember a couple of weeks ago he said that there was a student at a school that saw like a Sasha Banks sticker, and she said, "I absolutely love Sasha Banks," and he told her about the wrestling club that they have, and that's another young child being able to watch wrestling because of that. She had no idea that they had a wrestling club. So stuff like that, that's awesome. And you know, I look at that as a very positive thing when you can get more people watching wrestling. Carrie, her entrance was just awesome. I think the entrances obviously took a little bit of time away from the matches too, but they were great. But I enjoyed them, and I do wish they would have gotten a little bit more time. But I know they had to do what, it's one of those things where they had to do what they had to do to be able to get Mercedes time. I mean, Mercedes was in the ring, I think, longer than the match was. If not, it was pretty close. But it's going to be great to see what they do with Mercedes. And that's going to be in February, I guess, in San Jose. So that surprised me. But, and like I said, we'll find out more probably tomorrow on Dynamite if Mercedes is that person. I think we were just talking about that with Phil Lindsay of Graph City. If Mercedes is not the tag partner for Soraya, they're going to have to say who it is, because you don't want to go into that. And it was great, you know, seeing her and seeing how Twitter just blew up. She was trending number one for a little bit. It was good. It's good for business too. Like, good for the wrestling world.
Getting her is huge. It's, I always thought that she was going to be the big get for whoever got her. If she, you know, left WWE, whether it was AEW or New Japan / Stardom, she was going to help change a lot for them. You know, the women's division, AEW obviously has received plenty of back and forth conversations through their first couple of years, but you know, Mercedes is the type of wrestler that changes that no matter what. And I think they've really figured out the past few months, especially, you know, with Jamie Hayter on top and Toni Storm coming in, and they've really put something together. So if Mercedes is able to jump in there, that's great. But I think she doing this and, you know, potentially going to that Battle in the Valley show, facing Kyrie for the IWGP Women's title, I'm sure that's going to sell out guaranteed now, almost guaranteed, if not. I saw some people posting the Ticketmaster was crashed or something. When people were trying to get it. So that's a great sign, right?
Yeah.
She is already that draw, and she was always a top draw when she was on WWE TV. And like you said, you know, she had the look, you know, with the like flaming hair look, and, you know, laying out Kyrie and saying that she's going to be CEO of the division. She was there to make a statement, and now let's see. I'm pretty confident she'll back it up, you know, because that's what she does. That, if she's going to back it up anywhere, it's going to be in the ring, in a wrestling ring, especially with someone like Kyrie, who she's worked with before. So that should be really exciting and something to look forward to, because it sounds like she's ready to go based off her comments after the appearance.
Yeah, and you also have like the other talk about surrounding the match today, or surrounding Mercedes, was the people that were going to be around her. It was reported that Naomi was going to be there. So she flew out like to be with her friend. One of her best friends, Bailey, in the WWE, flew out there. We did see pictures of her. She posted a picture of her with the Revival and Sasha or Mercedes. So the Shevival, were together. That was cool to see. Yep. So seeing those four together was really cool to see that picture. It was good to see, her have her friends like supporting her and going out there. And Bailey was on Raw last night.
Yeah.
So that's just a long
one right there. That's crazy.
That's a long haul. But yeah, like I said, we'll more than likely know more tomorrow as far as the what's going to be going on as far as Mercedes being at AEW, if that's the case. I mean, there's always a possibility of something of it not happening. I just think it's about a 90% chance that she's going to AEW. I don't know if she might even just do a pay-per-view appearance with them too, because who knows? I mean, nobody really knows. She knows what she wants to do. So there you go. Yeah. But yeah, that was that.
Yep. So next up was the IWGP Tag Team titles as Bishamon, Hirooki Goto, and Yoshihashi defeated the team of FTR and Dax Harwood and Cash Wheeler to become the new champions, meaning that FTR, of course, is now without gold. They have no more gold. They've lost all their titles, which, you know, I'm sure will cause a stir amongst people, as Dax does himself. But this match was a sprint as well. This had, if the match prior to this was 6 minutes, this must have been 8, 9. Like, this was quick, this was fast, but man, oh man, did they pack a punch. I thought the crowd really got into this one. This is really where the crowd started to roar a little bit more. I thought, it was a really good match for what it was. FTR, just got there hours before, not even. So bravo to them for being able to not only show up, but put together a match like that in such a short time.
Yeah, and it was a quick, like you said, quick match. I think it was, you said under 7 minutes, I think.
It was quick. It was just above the women's match.
Yeah, just not much. I wonder if a lot of that was because of the health of Dax, because of like the injuries and stuff like that he's dealing with. I mean, he still has that tailbone issue, I believe. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do. I know a lot of people think they're going to do the redemption style angle where they're going to get all these titles back. They're going to go on a losing streak and then get them back. There's also talk about potential contract stuff.
Yep.
And I know Dax has talked about being off TV for a little while, and just wrestling maybe independent shows. And just like I said, not being on TV, and who knows? And then he's talked about, like, he's brought up CM Punk a lot lately, and a lot of people have said, "Well, why would he be bringing up CM Punk trying to get him to come back if he's leaving?" So some people think they've already re-signed. Some people have speculated that. I'm not saying that happened. I'm just saying that I've seen people speculate that they've already re-signed. I don't know. Who knows? That's the thing. Nobody knows, except for those guys, and AEW would know if they re-signed. It'll be interesting. If they stay, I do like the redemption, angle option potentially, because I think it would be good, but I also wonder, like, why do you take those titles away from them in the first place? Or why do you not just give them the titles in the first place when they were just on fire? But either way, this is a New Japan show. I like who they went the right way for the titles. They did the right thing. They put them on the right team. This was a no-brainer, when they lost the titles to the Briscoes, you knew that this was the way this is what was going to happen. They were going to lose these titles, and Yoshihashi and Hiroki, they're going to be good champs. And I actually hope when Dax is healthy that we get a rematch of these two teams, like in a longer match. That's what I really want.
I do too. I think that was my number one thing when I was sitting there. I was like, man, this would be great if you could run this back, give them 20, 25, you know, a full length match, kind of like they had with Aussie Open at the Royal Quest show months back. Because that's kind of what FTR's bread and butter is. And I know I know Dax is hurt. So hopefully they get that chance, but they put on a really good show. And I thought, you know, like you said, Goto and Yoshihashi being the guys to take the titles home to New Japan, you know, New Japan proper, have them on the roster. They're the right team. They represent the better teams of nowadays. You know, Kevin Kelly was on one about praising them during this, actually, after they won. I think he was yelling at some magazine for not ranking them.
Pro 10. Wrestling Illustrated.
Was it? Yeah. Was it? Okay. It was PWI. Yeah. And I was like, oh, all right.
And what was funny is on the watch along, we had Phil Lindsay, who writes for Pro Wrestling Illustrated, and he just kind of like shrugged. He's like, I see it. Like he knew.
Which
he might not, even, I mean, he's not saying he didn't agree with him, but he also kind of like, I see his point type thing. So it was pretty good.
Yeah. But we can move on here. New Japan World TV Championship. The first champion was crowned as Zack Sabre Jr. defeated Ren Narita to complete the tournament. This world TV title, for those who don't know, will be a title that you can see all the matches of. They're going to put them all on YouTube. They're going to be free on New Japan World. This title is made, you know, 15-minute time limit to be shown to everyone. It's the title that hopefully, you know, they can have be defended in the smaller touring towns that they have in Japan. You know, and this is Zack Sabre Jr.'s first singles title in New Japan, which is a big shock as well.
It's crazy when you think about that. As long as he's been there and just how damn good he is, that's his first singles title. And they got a new member of the
TMDK.
Thank you. They got a new member, which actually that surprised me.
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s. Still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step by step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
More than really anything.
Yeah. The Australian team taking in Zack Sabre Jr. kind of, you know, not officially yet, but it does kind of feel like he'll be the lead now that Jonah, of course, Bronson Reed, WWE, went back there. That kind of ended that group, but they found a solution, you know, with Suzuki Goon ending. They had a free spot, and I think Zack will be a good guy to get to lead finally. You know, it's a big spot for him. And I think this match, having him win a title, it's very fitting to kind of push him up the card a little bit. I mean, he's got two New Japan Cups to his name. He's got a lot of accolades, but this being his first singles title, that's crazy. And I thought Ren Narita also looked great in his it's not really his Tokyo Dome debut or his Wrestle Kingdom debut. He did fight Katsuyori Shibata last year, but I think in the big spot, he looked great here in defeat.
Yeah, and Ren Narita, he's one of those guys that he's another guy that I can always watch, and I'm going to be happy. Ren Narita, he's as solid as they come to. So it was a good match. And that's you have these two guys. This I honestly thought going into it, I honestly thought this could have been like the underrated match.
Yeah.
Could have been the underrated match of the card. Like I could actually, I'm not saying it would have stolen the show, because once they had Ospreay versus Omega, I'm like, okay, well, and you always know with Okada being on a card, like, and Jay White, those could always be the match of the show. But when I saw Omega and Ospreay, I'm like, that's going to be the match of the match. But I honestly felt like this could be like a show stealer. I really did. But
yeah,
it wasn't, but it was still a good match.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to describe it for sure. Next up, Never Open Weight Championship. This match got plenty of hate heading into it for reasons that, you know, you can figure out yourself. So Carl Anderson defending the title against Tama Tonga. Carl Anderson of WWE, of course, repping the OC out there. He had the shirt, the pants on, and you know, Carl Anderson, bright lights Carl Anderson came to play for this one. I think he definitely rose above the occasion of what a lot of people expected. You know, his match with Hikuleo from December was not all that great, so people had fear. But you know, him and Tama Tonga have a close relationship, and he wasn't gonna leave him out to dry. I think this really not only helped Tama Tonga get over as a kind of borderline main eventer, borderline top mid card type guy, but I mean, Tama Tonga has created such an incredible relationship with the fans in Japan over this pandemic. So getting to see him get his kind of crowning moment here against a guy who's not part of the company, so it kind of only makes it better. It was perfect. I thought they did a really good job. The only problem was the slip of the gun stun at the end, but it didn't matter. People were happy to see Tonga on top.
You know, and the other thing too is I know like a lot of people are giving shit to Carl Anderson. I think one of the reasons why he, and this is speculation on my part, I think he wanted to, like, I think he wanted to do this the right way. Like, he had this title, and I think he wanted, like, I think the plan was that he was going to have this title until Wrestle Kingdom, and, like, he was going to lose it to Tonga, and I think that's why he did it. Like, he signed with WWE. He's like, hey, and this is, again, like I said, speculation. Because I think that's how they got him. Like, he's like, I'm willing to sign, but this is what I want to do. And
exactly.
Rocky Romero said that Tony Khan was cool with it because they had that working relationship and they knew the plans. I honestly think that, and that's just me spitballing. That's not me reporting anything. That's just what I'm thinking, because otherwise, he would have just given the title up. He just would have done that. But because he respects that company, New Japan, because they gave him a job when obviously they didn't have to. But he's also good friends with Tama. So I think that's what he did. And he wanted to go lose that belt to him. And I don't think people realize that. I think. And that's, again, that could just be me.
No, I think you're right,
for fantasy booking, but that's what makes more sense. Yeah. And I think that's why WWE let him do that.
Yeah, I think it does come down to him probably wanting to play out the plan, put over his friend, you know, a guy that he spent a lot of career with before he went to WWE the first time. After all, I mean, the story of the match was him giving him the gun stun. You know, that was Karl Anderson's move, and it became Tama Tonga's finisher. So that's a fun little story to play there. But I thought for a match that a lot of people had low expectations for, low excitement for, it definitely rised above the occasion. And it was a fun match. It was very chaotic. I think that's how they benefited from it, is that they went down the chaos route. But yeah, good stuff there. Let's move on. Keiji Muto's final New Japan Pro Wrestling match, allegedly. Yeah, you never know. He teamed with Hiroshi Tanahashi and Shota Umino against Los Ingobernables de Japón's Tetsuya Naito, Bushi, and Sanada, with Shota Umino, not Muto, not Tanahashi, but Shota getting the pin on Bushi to win the match, which, I mean, is the type of sign you want to see. New Japan's trying to push their future. I think Shooter's a guy that's an instant superstar, not just a star, but a superstar. He has the look. You know, that relationship with Moxie really helped him just kind of gain a certain confidence before he ever came back to New Japan. You know, he went on his excursion, of course, but ever since he's come back, you know, he has that feeling about him. He's just cool. Of course, he got a little Tanahashi look to him as well. I think a lot of people connect that, but this really was, you know, the past, the present, and the future on one team. And then, you know, LIJ is great. I thought the match was a lot of fun, playing to a lot of Muto moments there with, you know, Sanada hitting that, with Sanada hitting the moonsault at the start. I thought that was awesome because obviously that is Muto's moonsault that he taught down to him, and then Muto fake going up for the moonsault. Tanahashi would be like, no. I thought that was a great moment in the match as well, and I thought overall they really put that together well.
SP3, like, usually I wouldn't do this, but SP3 is my guy. Plus, he actually asked a question that I thought about earlier. Do you think this happens?
That's a good question. So are they at Yokohama? Is that the other Wrestle Kingdom night?
Yeah, I believe so.
And it seems like they're going against Noah again, based on the post-match for LIJ. I mean, it's a good question. It'd be pretty funny if they ran it back again after saying this was the last one. But
yeah, I could.
It would be very Keiji Muto.
Yeah.
I think that's a good question, though. So, maybe they'll hold off. Maybe they'll try to go with the more Noah-centric guys like Kano and Nakajima that they teased after.
Sure. All right.
Did you have any thoughts on the match?
No, that's the thing. I pretty much agreed with everything you said. So I was trying to think of like other things I could add, but that was pretty much what I had, like with what SP3 put on there, because
cool.
That's the only thing that really like made me think like the after show stuff or the press conference stuff. And overall, sometimes when I just wasn't really sure if that was going to be his last match. It just, I don't know. It just didn't feel like it to me. I don't know. Maybe I could be wrong, but
as someone that's watched his goodbye tour, it's been a weird one. You know, a lot of it doesn't always feel like it's the last stuff. Like, yeah. You know, when he had the match with Shinsuke, this past week as the Great Muta, that also was kind of weird how that ended. So that's kind of the Muto feeling, I guess. I do wonder how his retirement show will go, but I guess we'll have to wait and see there. We have three matches left here in our review, starting with the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship, as Hiromu Takahashi recaptured the championship by defeating Master Wato, El Desperado, and the now former champion, Taiji Ishimori. I thought this match was really played up to what you'd hope in a fatal four-way between, you know, some of the best junior wrestlers in the world. With Master Wato being the real breakout star of the match, which I think was their goal, and I think it really worked.
It did work, because that was – Being in a room with over 170 people watching that and seeing Mastuato, just seeing how many people were commenting on him in the watch along, I was surprised more than anything. It was a fantastic match, and I was going into it, I was thinking, okay, well, we know Omega and Ospreay are next, and these guys are gonna just go all out because they know that then, like, everybody's just waiting for that match, and these guys are just gonna go all out, and they did their job, and I knew we were going to get a good match because of everybody that was in it, but I was not expecting to get what we got, if that makes any sense. It was just, it was pretty damn good.
I think where I definitely understand you is it's because of who they made the focal point, right? Because if they made the focal point, you know, Desperado or Ishimori or Hiromu, all guys that have been in this spot, you'd be like, yeah, of course it was a great match, but they made it Wato, and they made sure he looked like a star, and it's the type of thing that you keep down, you write down in a notebook, right? Like, whoever, you know, you're paying attention to that, because the next time he gets this shot, maybe it's his time. I thought he looked great. Even though he was the one that ultimately took the pin with Hiromu winning, who is on top for the first time in a long time. I think it's been since maybe the beginning of 2020, 2021. I could be wrong there, but, it's 8 a.m. I think that's okay for me to be wrong. But let's get to the big one here. I think this is the match that everyone wants to talk about. Everyone's been talking about before the match even started, and will be talking about for the next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, rest of the year, probably, if we're going to be honest. You know, people talk about their match of the years and all that good stuff. This is going to be the one that's talked about all year long, as Kenny Omega defeated Will Ospreay for the IWGP United States Championship in one of the bigger dream matches we've seen in a very long time. You know, Rob, before I give my thoughts on the match, what were your thoughts on the, what many are calling an instant classic between two of the best?
Well, the fact that this pretty much started on Fightful, like, I mean, the war of words started with Fightful, when Omega interview with Sean, and then it even got even like more. I got even more pumped up for it last night after watching the press conference with Ospreay showing the emotion that he had. He showed so like much emotion, and it was like, I thought the whole time Ospreay was going to win this match, like the whole time. And then I saw, like, after he had that emotion in that press conference, I saw, of course, somebody on Twitter just had to say something that made absolute sense for once. And I'm like, holy crap, Omega's going to win this match. Like, based off what I read, that one comment, and this match, if anybody said that match did not exceed expectations, they are lying to you. I was amazed. I was, I'm out of words. I'm just absolutely out of words at how good this match was. It was so damn good. It was really good. And the fact that we will more than likely get another one.
Oh, yeah.
Just, it makes it even better. But I don't know how those two are just going to outdo it. They're not.
To be fair, people said that about Okada and Omega.
They did.
The first time. And, you know, some say they didn't. Some say they absolutely did. And I think, with these two guys, you have two of the most creative minds in wrestling when it comes to the actual wrestling part, right? The in-ring stuff. And, you know, what we saw here, you know, the many people that watch live, what many people will see over the next 24 hours when they get a chance to watch the show, is that they saw two of the best of this generation go head to head and, like you said, exceed expectations. You know, some people went into expectations of this. Oh, it's going to be, you know, a great five-star match, but how great is it going to be? Right. Yeah. You didn't temper your expectations because you just knew it was going to be great, but you just didn't know how high to go. You know, I think Dave Meltzer said it very well. He's like, you know, for a hot match that had high expectations, it still managed to exceed expectations. Yeah, it did. No matter what, it exceeded people's expectations. I think the beauty of this really is that now you kind of set up roads for both of them in New Japan and outside New Japan. Ospreay felt like the babyface halfway through this match, which, that's, to me, an accomplishment. You have the returning Kenny Omega, who knew, you know, the Japanese fans love, they adore him. You know, he learned Japanese to talk with them and interact with them. He did everything, right? And the whole story this whole time was he's the savior and Ospreay's the bad guy. And then, like you said, when you brought up that promo, I think that's when we started to see the shift, right? We started to see the shift. Who's really the good guy? Who's really the bad guy? And then this match, we saw that. It was tremendous. It'll be talked about the rest of the year. It'll probably be talked out for years to come because, like you said, this is not going to be the first. This is not going to be the last time these two face off. You know, Ospreay can go many directions, whether it be for this title and to get back with Kenny, or it's the IWGP World Heavyweight Title, something he obviously wants back. You know, Okada's another mountain for him to climb, but I do just want to highlight the way this match ended with Omega hitting the Kota Ibushi Kamigoye before finishing off with a one-winged angel. I thought that was perfection, a perfect way to end what many will probably believe is a perfect match. Fantastic storytelling, everything you look for in a Wrestle Kingdom main event type match.
Yeah, exactly. And the one thing I didn't start off with is the entrances too.
Oh man, Jesus. Thank you for bringing those up.
the entrances just made it even,
yeah,
like, even better. Like this day and age, when you get an entrance where literally, somebody in the chat said they had goosebumps, and when I saw that, and then I saw there's a little bit of a delay, and then Omega came out, and I'm like, holy hell, you know, it's like I see exactly, and I felt it, like,
yeah,
it was good. And that just that whole, like, I don't know how long it took for both of them to get to the ring and stuff, but it just felt like obviously felt like that big fight feel that you've been wanting forever. And I was so damn happy to see this match and those two guys go at it, and they beat the holy hell out of each other. And it's exactly what you said. I'm like, I don't know how they can outdo it, like, for next time, but they more than likely will, you know.
Yeah,
it's they went all out. And
I think
the easiest way to say is thank you.
I mean, yeah.
You know, that's,
yeah.
I'm speechless. That's the easiest way to say it. I'm freaking speechless.
Yeah. I think the way, you know, I don't know how they'll top it, but there's always the difference of it happening there and maybe the rematch happening here. Right. I think that's one way to just change how a match goes, because you'll have a rabid crowd here in a very different way, sitting on every move and reacting, kind of like when we saw them interact in the trios tournament that AEW held, where that really was another launching point for this match to happen. Like you said, started with Kenny's interview with Sean, then, you know, Ospreay talked a little bit about it on other interviews, and they finally had that match, and it all brought us to this point. And like you said, best way to say is just thank you for thank you to New Japan for putting it together. And thank you for these two going out there and doing what they did. But let's finish it off here, shall we? The IWGP World Heavyweight Championship could Kazuchika Okada and Jay White follow what many will believe it's the classic. And I think a lot of people are probably going to have to go back and watch this, truthfully, because what I saw in this was a great, great match. It just followed that. So it was going to be hard to be like registering it. But Jay White and Okada, they're very different from Omega and Ospreay. They wrestle different styles. They can use a little bit more of the psychology side and play to the crowd, heel and babyface, very easy, you know, black and white, which is exactly what they wore. Funny enough, you know, you had Okada wearing the black and Jay White wearing the white. And what Jay White is so good at is that heel stuff. I know some people don't like him. Some people can't stand him, but I thought this was one of his best matches that I've seen from him, because you avoided a lot of the heel shtick, right, of leaving the ring and leaving the ring and leaving the ring, and it came down to the action. It came down to the back and forth, and I love Jay. I think he's excellent, and I obviously love Okada, and I thought with all the odds stacked against them here in this main event, they went out there and put on a great match, which, you know, that's what Okada does in the Wrestle King at Wrestle Kingdom. So
yeah, oh exactly, and I love Jay White, just like you said. Jay White was great. He even like made me laugh, like just the way he was in the match, and even at the end of it, how he just kind of crawled his way up to Okada and just was, he didn't really know what the hell he was doing, and I don't think Okada knew what he was doing based off his genuine look. Like, he's like, what, like, are you doing? I mean, it really looked like that. And it was just good, and the match was good, and I completely agree with you that it's a match that I'm gonna have to go back and look at again, because the match before, again, it took a lot out. Like, I couldn't imagine if I was at the show how I would have felt. Those people, I saw a couple of people on Twitter that were there, and I'm completely jealous of them, but I don't know how the hell they're gonna feel like after that, like being able to see Omega and Ospreay and then going into that match, how the hell they can remember like that, or how the hell they did it, because it just, we see it all the time when you talk about, like, but not to harp on WWE, but we talk about it all the time when you look at some of the main event matches or just big matches in WWE, like, oh, well, the crowd was dead. Mm-hmm. The crowd wasn't necessarily dead for this. It's just
they didn't have time to get back into it.
They didn't have a shot, but they still had a hell of a match. So it's really tough, because those were the two best matches of the whole show, in my opinion. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. And this was good. It was emotional at the end for Okada with the tribute to Inoki. You know, that was cool. I really enjoyed it. Anytime you get the Rainmaker, like, it's just I want to throw money at it, because that's just, I love it. It's what this business is so great, is you get, I'm trying to find the right words, but it just made me, I just had a blast watching this show, and I think it's so, there's only a few shows that I do this for where I stay up all night, a couple of times a year, and this is one of them, and this is the first one that I've done that in a while for, and I had a good time, and with this show, I was pretty much dead though, and at the end, but it was worth it. It was so good, and I'm actually ready for another Okada Jay White match, hopefully sometime in a couple months, maybe not even that long, who knows, but I just know they. I know those two will not want to follow Omega and Ospreay. I know when those two face off against each other, they're going to have to be the main event. That's just the way it's going to have to be.
I 100% agree. I think what we saw with this card overall is that they really did play to that double main event. Like, yeah, I think the whole card was really, really good up until this point. I had a lot of solid matches, but it wasn't until the double main event where you saw it go from good to great. And if not great, phenomenal. Right.
Yeah.
And that's not a knock on anyone. That's just how the show was built, and understandably so. I will just add here that Shingo Takagi did come out to challenge Okada after the match. They talked about the new beginning shows. That'll probably be where that happens rather than the upcoming second night of Wrestle Kingdom. So that's something to look forward to, of course, because Shingo Takagi back in the world title picture is always a welcome sight after he spent a year pretty much fighting for the KOPW title/cup. Which he's still doing, actually. But, I could agree with you more about the Okada and White thing. I think this match was better than the match that they had last year when Jay White won the belt. But it's hard because it came after Omega and Ospreay, and that's going to be the talk of the town for who knows how long. But really fantastic match. Really great show.
No, I know what you're saying, Antonio, but I know what you're saying, but it's New Year's Dash is tonight, but they got things they got to set up for, basically. I think you know what he's trying to say.
Dash is an interesting show this year, obviously, because it's Mystery Vortex style. Nothing's going to be announced even at the beginning of the show. But when we say wait, it's just like you want to see how the seeds play, especially with the Omega part, because, you know, no one knows if Omega will be there. Obviously, Omega could be on his way home because, you know, he has the ladder match next week on Dynamite. He probably wants to recover his body a little bit. But yeah, I mean, that's the excitement now, right? Going into New Year's Dash tomorrow, tonight, whichever. I think it's at 4:30 a.m. Eastern on Thursday, so take that for what you will. But it's a show that's full of surprises, and I think it's something to look forward to, definitely for New Japan fans. I think this is the show that probably won a lot of people over, or won a lot of people back that maybe fell out during the COVID times here in New Japan. But
yeah, and gain possibly more fans with what went on tonight with Mercedes. But I'm just, usually we only like answer super chats, but I see a couple of good questions in here, so I'll just let you answer these before we go off the air. How do you feel about this?
I think so, based on the tweets that were coming out, it sounds like they're going for singles matches this time rather than the big tag that they did last time. And if that's the case, I'm very intrigued and very interested in that, because I do think that Kano versus Naito, Nakajima versus Shingo, stuff like that, that's big time. Those are the types of matches I wanted to see last year when they did Noah versus New Japan. So I hope that's where they're going with this time around.
Yeah, exactly. That's the best way to see, there was one more I saw that I liked, and now I can't find it. Oh well.
It's okay.
It was a good run. But just go ahead and let everybody know where they can find you.
Oh yeah, you can follow me at Scott E Wrestling on Twitter. That's the best place to find me. I do, coverage here, Fightful, for mostly Stardom, Joshi, but I did New Japan results tonight, jumping into more of the Japan scene. So definitely follow me there to see all my stuff.
And you can follow me at Rob Wilkins on Twitter. Otherwise, I am on Instagram at Fightful Rob. Every Friday at 3:00, I host Coexisting with Rob and Maggie on Fightful Overbooked. And then we have Fightful on Fightful Select Coexisting After Dark. at 5 o'clock Eastern. This week, our guest is none other than WrestleTalk's Luke Owen, who's going to join us for just basically a Q&A. And like I said, usually I don't do these post shows, but you got stuck with me today because of the timing and other people wanted to sleep, and Scott was up for it, and I said I was up for it. So you won't have to deal with me for another year probably. So, but I enjoyed it. I want to say thank you for those who did tune in. It really meant a lot to me. I absolutely love what I get to do with Fightful. Also, I want everybody to know that this week on Sunday, we will have an exclusive interview. The Wrestling Perspective podcast will have an exclusive interview with Josh Alexander. So make sure you check that out. That's going to be pretty good. Other than that, my name is Rob. That's Scott. I want to say thank you for tuning in. We hope you really enjoyed Wrestle Kingdom 17 Night 1. It was a good time, and I know you're going to want to rewatch some of those matches tonight, or not tonight, but you know what I'm trying to say. You're going to want to rewatch them, because I know I will. But thank you guys very much for tuning in. We will talk to you later. Take care. Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.